Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Members of the committee, for the record, State Senator Eric Schmidt, representing the people of the 15th District in St. Louis County. It is my privilege to present to you Senate Bill 5, which was passed out of the Senate 34-0 earlier this session. And it is my belief, and the Senate has weighed in and really looking forward to working with the House on this particular issue, that there are way too many municipalities in the state that are too reliant on traffic tickets and fines. Government doesn't and shouldn't exist to find new and innovative ways to extract more and more from our citizens, and that is exactly what's happening. And the police have been put in these positions by a lot of city managers and a lot of bureaucrats across our state of being revenue collectors. And it is my belief that it has broken down the trust between the people that we represent in their government and the people that we represent in their courts, which I think is a very serious thing for us to consider. We have, I think over the past 6 months, a lot of these issues have been brought to light, and the magnitude in particular areas certainly has been shocking, has been further evidenced by the Department of Justice report as to some of these abuses and the predatory traffic ticket schemes that exist throughout our state, but are concentrated, of course, in St. Louis County. To put that in perspective, now I do want to say this before we talk about St. Louis County. This law is named after Max Creek, which was a small rural town, which is a notorious speed trap. And I think that's important to point out because these exist, these abusive traffic ticket schemes exist all over our great state. Many probably in some of the communities that representatives in this committee represent. And I just think that we have to come to grips with the fact that who we really represent. We represent the people who are being abused by this system. We may have relationships with city managers and with mayors who talk about this revenue, but when you see a 27% increase across the state in the number of in the amount of municipal court revenue that's been generated in the last 5 years alone, I don't think you have to be a rocket scientist to figure out that we have a problem. But as it relates specifically to St. Louis County, there are 81 municipal courts in St. Louis County. That is 61 more than the next largest circuit. And many circuits across our state, as everyone is aware, includes multiple counties. There are 14 municipalities in St. Louis County where traffic tickets and fines are their single biggest source of revenue. St. Louis County accounts for about 22% of the state's population, but accounts for about 50% of the traffic tickets and fines that are administered. There are over 400,000 outstanding warrants in St. Louis County alone. I think that what we've seen is a proliferation of this to add revenue and for city managers to not have to make tough decisions. The separate charge of failure to appear, in many instances, and I have a bill on this, and I know this committee will consider that, adding this in the bill, and I would certainly encourage that. That bill has proven not to be very controversial in the Senate, and what it has done is added an additional layer of fines. So, for example, if you get a speeding ticket or your taillights out and life happens, and you can't make that court date, because a lot of these courts are being held at night. And oh, by the way, 40% of these municipal courts in St. Louis County didn't allow kids in their courtroom. Now that's changing, which is a positive development. But if you're having to make a decision between paying a babysitter and paying the fine, and you miss that court date or you can't pay that fine, what happens in a lot of these municipalities, they'll add an additional charge of failure to appear, which brings about its own separate layer of fines. Before you know it, there is a warrant out for your arrest. So if you get a taillight out and you have to plan for that repair, and there's somebody in our communities that makes $30,000 a year, they might have to plan for that repair. But they have to run the gauntlet on St. Charles Rock Road, which I'm very familiar with, which is where I grew up. And they have to go through five or six municipalities, all of which are hungry for more revenue. And on their way to work, they get pulled over for going 7 miles over, or let's just say 11 miles over. Guess what? They're in jail. And if they can't pay that fine, they're in jail until the next court date. We have created modern-day debtor prisons in our country. And they're right here in our home state. And those are supposed to, for all my friends who love our Constitution, those are supposed to be illegal in our country. But we have them right here under our noses. And I think this is an attempt for us to deal with what I think is a very serious problem. That scenario that plays out was highlighted in the Department of Justice report. But again, as far as somebody who happens to be poor, who finds themselves ensnared in the system, and we are pushing the poorest among us further into poverty. But let's make no mistake, this is not limited to St. Louis County. This is not a St. Louis issue. It is, but it's a Missouri issue. For example, the great city of Feral View derives almost 40% of its revenue from traffic tickets and fines. The city of Mosby, 42%. The city of Randolph, nearly 75%. Forestell, a notorious speed trap on Highway 70, I might add, nearly 45%. New Melle, 46%. Bella Villa in St. Louis County, almost 60%. Breckenridge Hills, almost 30%. Calverton Park, 50%. Edmondson. And I wonder if the Edmondson mayor is here today. I don't know. But you have in your packet a letter, which I find very disturbing in our democracy, a letter that was included in paychecks, not only to the police chief, but rank and file officers that said, let me remind you, and you have that letter in front of you, let me remind you that your salaries and your jobs are dependent on the number of tickets you write. I think all of us can agree that's offensive. What's most amazing about that letter is it's actually in writing. Because these quotas exist all across our state and in St. Louis County. Belle Fountain Neighbors had something called activity requirements. And not only did they have activity requirements for a police officer to keep their job for traffic tickets written, they had activity requirements for a number of traffic-related arrests. Now, if we have gotten to a place in our country where a police officer has a required number of people he has to arrest per month, something has gone terribly wrong. Senate Bill 5 is an attempt to deal with that. Hillsdale, 26%. Pine Lawn, 48%. St. Anne, my grandma lives in St. Anne. I know the mayor is here. He's a friend of mine. 37%. Vinita Terrace, 51%. Burns Mill, a notorious speed trap in Jefferson County, which, oh, by the way, is using their city website right now to lobby against Senate Bill 5. Go to burnsmill.org. You'll find it. 37%. Leadington, 36%. Lynn Creek, 28%. The great city of Fair Play, 53%. Fordland, 98%. The city of Foley, in a statistical anomaly, we can't figure this out. Over 100%, we don't know. I know the auditor's office is looking at that. The city of Diamond, 70%. The list goes on and on. And oh, by the way, a lot of the municipalities, and one of the things that somebody might say is, well, those are all over the current threshold. Well, not all of them. But what we've seen in your packet, what you have here today, is an alarming increase in the number of, in the amount of revenue being generated from traffic tickets and fines and municipal court revenues from those cities that are between 10 and 20%. So they may be under, but they may be a city like Belle Fountain Neighbors, which has gone from about 400,000 to 1.2 million in the last 5 years. Or they might be a city like St. Anne that has increased, quadrupled the amount. And I know that he's here, and that's why we have these public hearings, and he can answer for this. But I know growing up, when Northwest Plaza was the biggest mall in the country, there was not a speed trap on Highway 70. That mall is now closed. The only thing different is that mall is closed. They are replacing that revenue by having a speed camera in a hotel room, clocking folks, visiting our fine city, or live in that community, and they have seven police officers on the side of the road constantly pulling folks over. That is not what this is supposed to be about. And the police officers that I've talked to, they didn't sign up to go to the police academy to write traffic tickets all day. What their belief is, what my belief is there could be more time dedicated to community policing, to building the relationships in the community, so that when something happens, there's a trust that's built. And a lot of police officers are doing this right now, but they could have more time if they didn't have activity requirements or arrest requirements or a speed camera in a hotel room pulling people over constantly. And so you have some of those numbers in front of you, but I'll just name a few. City of Mosby, they've seen a 557% increase in the amount of municipal court revenue generated in the last 5 years. Randolph, 50%. Fleming, 200%. Lawson, 200%. Weldon Spring, a newly created police department, has seen a 1,300% increase in the last 5 years. Vandalia, 123%. Wellsville, 250%. Wright City, 95%. Lamont, 200%. Owensville, 141%. Jennings, 180%. Normandy, 345%. And that doesn't include the breaking up. Normandy is now a provides services for like four or five different municipalities around it. Pagedale, 98%. Pine Lawn, 40%. These are all increases. St. Anne, a 292% increase in the number of municipal court revenues generated in the last 5 years. Velda Village Hills, 153%. Wellston, this may be the granddaddy of them all, I'm not sure, but 2,400% increase in the last 5 years. And don't, so for those of you who say this isn't about revenue, I think the statistics tell a different story. Dixon, 106%. Somersville, 282%. Sunrise Beach, 186%. 118% in the great city of Carthage. Fordland, 100%. Hurley, 300%. Bloomfield, 2,294%. Oh, this is it. Shelbina, 4,700% increase. Now, these numbers may be relatively small as far as the dollar amount, but when you see that kind of an increase over a five-year period, it is either a statistical anomaly or it is about plugging money into a budget. And all you need to know about this issue is that there are cities all across our great state that are budgeting more for traffic tickets and fines for the next year. And maybe these city managers have some soothsaying power or, you know, I don't know, and they can predict future behavior. But when you're budgeting more and you are directing your police department to go find it, we have created an unsustainable situation that has led to the breakdown. And as I said, pushing the poorest among us further into poverty. I think we have a unique opportunity to make a difference with this bill this year. We have the ability to take the incentive away from what has become what I have called taxation by citation or government by speed trap. And so it is my hope that working with this committee and working with the House, that we can do something significant, not simply to appease someone that is making an argument that they don't know what to do if they don't have this revenue. There are plenty of things to do. There's the idea of sharing resources. There's the idea of cooperation with a neighboring community. And there's also the idea of maybe actually having the guts to go to the people and asking them if they want to fund this service you're claiming is so vital. Because if it is, they might support it. In this bill, we lower the threshold from, or the cap from 30% to 10% in charter and first class counties. And then in the smaller rural communities where their budgets aren't quite as big, we step that down from 30 to 20%. I think that the penalty provisions in here are significant. We've worked with the auditor's office and many others to make sure that revenue is very clearly defined. The court would continue to lose jurisdiction if they violate it. The Department of Revenue has the ability to acquire those resources if they are not handed over to the county school fund. So these municipalities, if it's so vital, they can still do everything that they're doing. But that overage now, over the 10% in the metro areas in particular, it'll go to the school fund. If they don't remit that overage in 60 days, disincorporation is on the ballot. We will finally shift the power back to the people. They get to decide whether or not they agree with what's going on in their communities. So I appreciate the opportunity to be here and certainly welcome any questions.